You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of just staying hydrated, you know? Like, I happen to be sick right now, so I'm staying hydrated, but even when I'm not, I like to drink a lot of water, and you should too. It's good for a healthy body. It'll make you feel better. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Tom Gabagool-Gliotta. It's a little bit of a mouthful. You may know me as the founder of Twitter sensation, NBA Injury Report, and this is episode 269. Woo! On today's show, we're joined by Harrison Rahajasan, contributor over at Posting and Toasting. I'm bringing someone in to help me, you know, share the load while I deal with the back end of this flu that I'm dealing with. Harrison and I had a great conversation, just finished talking to him. We talked about two main things. The first one was that we gave you guys a Knicks fan's guide to conference championship play. We talked about the 10 top prospects who are currently playing in college in their conference championships. It's our first dip into the waters of prospect talk. I hope you guys enjoy it. Then we close out the show by previewing the two remaining games on this week's schedule, Friday at Milwaukee, Sunday at home against Toronto, and we do it Locked On Knicks style by drumming up the hate for our opponents, breaking down who are the most hateable players. We haven't done this in a little bit. I had fun hating on both Milwaukee and Toronto with Harrison. I think you guys will like it too. All right, let's start the show. Hit it, Marv!
Yes!
Harrison, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. It's almost Friday. Not quite, but we're almost there.
I had a weird, like, today I was like, man, it's Thursday already? Which
yeah.
Normally is, like, a good thing, but I don't know. Like, it was a nightmare. I don't Strange vibes this week.
Maybe because the Knicks are so shit that, that like we don't have anything to pace these weeks. I don't know. It's a weird time, I guess.
It is strange these couple weeks after the All-Star break where the Knicks have had long breaks in between games, cuz they played one of the more hectic schedules in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they did. There were so many games at the beginning of the season when like they were actually good or whatever, some variation of good, I guess.
It would have been nice if they spaced those out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. And I seem to remember at the beginning of the year they had a lot of home games and like things were just so
great. I've heard something about that.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you, Harrison, for helping me out today, for helping me get through my second consecutive sode while having the flu.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, it's been a struggle. On yesterday's pod, my brain's not all the way there right now because of the flu. I actually... I confused Derek Harper with Ron Harper at one point.
Uh-huh.
And I kept referring to CJ McCollum as McConnell.
Uh-huh.
I think I was confusing him with TJ McConnell. So I need someone to, you know, as Frodo Baggins would say, share the load.
I'll try my best. You know, last time I came on, I made a couple mistakes as well. So we're all human. We're all trying our best, I guess.
Yeah, we're all just trying to help each other get through this crazy thing called life.
And it seems like every time that I'm on the show, you are suffering some sort of ailment. Last time it was your back that was a little bit messed up.
That's a good memory. I had a pinched nerve in my neck, but I thought it was a back thing at first because that's where most of the pain was. So
Yeah.
That's a good memory. Well, but you're here today to help us. We're calling this the Knicks Fans Guide to Conference Championship Play.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about 10 guys in the draft who are in college. We're leaving Doncic out of this discussion.
Yeah, we're leaving Doncic out of it, yeah.
Right, okay. So I'm hoping that... Now, people have asked me a lot about the draft, and I've told them, you know, I don't have favorite prospects yet. I haven't really started scouting. I'm kind of waiting until after the season winds down, which is we've just got about a little over a month, or about a month, a little less than a month.
Yeah, I think I read 17 games, so that should be about a month and a half or so.
Yeah, I think our last game's actually like on April 11th?
Something like that.
I was looking today. Yeah, whatever. But so this is our first kind of dipping our toe into prospects on the show this season. So I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about these guys and hearing when we can see them play and all that good stuff. So
yeah. And what's great is that I have some of the games going on right now, and like I have on the screen, I have Duke, Notre Dame, and like Grayson Allen has like hit, is 5 for 5 from three, and this is just like, it's crazy. There's just so much basketball going on.
From what I can tell, Grayson Allen is like, who would you call? Is he like the Matthew Dellavedova of college? I feel like people hate him. What's his?
I think he's just really the stereotypical like white Duke guy that everyone is going to hate. And he's been there for 5 years or 4 years, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like Duke always has that one guy that everyone's just going to hate.
Just the embodiment of everything annoying about Duke.
That's right. And he is that guy right now. And what's great about him is that, he's been there for 4 years. And I remember after his first season, everyone was kind of like, oh, this guy's a lottery pick, whatever. And then he came back. And then, well, obviously that was a terrible idea because he's still there now. So,
but he is not one of the 10 guys who we are looking at for Knicks fans, right? Yeah.
Hell no.
Why don't you start us with one of your... what are your favorite prospects from the draft?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So since we're on the topic of Duke, let's talk about Marvin Bagley.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, so this guy is really, really good. And I'm looking at the box score right now. He only has 9 points, but it's like only the first – it's still only the first half. And like when I guess they're, you know, featuring Grayson Allen right now a lot, so good for them. But no, Marvin Bagley is pretty incredible. He reclassified, so he's younger than some of the other one-and-dones. Like I don't know how old he is exactly, but if the other one-and-dones are going to come into the NBA at 19, he'll be 18, that type of thing.
Right.
He's pretty phenomenal. A lot of people are comparing him to Kevin Garnett, which, I mean, like, whenever you're compared to Kevin Garnett, it's a pretty good sign. But he has a jump shot, so that's a pretty good prospect.
Does his jump shot extend beyond kind of like mid range, or?
Oh yeah, he can knock down threes. So I'm looking at his season stats. He's a 36% 3-point shooter, which for someone who's 6'11" and who's going to be a center or a power forward, I'd say that's pretty good.
And he's a, correct me if I'm wrong, he's a the third, right?
Yeah. He's Marvin Bagley the third. So hold on, can I say something?
Yes.
So. I think this started all the way back with Robert Griffin III. So, like, on the back of Robert Griffin III's jersey and Marvin Bagley's jersey, it's Bagley III. But he's not Bagley III. He's Marvin III. He's the third Marvin of the Bagley family. There were Bagleys before the first Marvin. It makes no sense. People have to stop doing this. Like, people have to stop putting which heir of the whatever first name they have. It makes no sense.
It's part of a troubling epidemic in general. There are, I believe, 3 other juniors in the top 10 draft prospects. And this guy's doubling. He's like, well, fuck that. I'm a third. I need some originality in the gene pool. We need some diversity.
And I don't know where I saw this, if it was in college or in the NBA, but I think there's someone who's like a fifth or a fourth. No, I think a fifth. Like, you know, I guess it would be a fourth if there was an IV. Like in Roman numerals, and
sure.
I'm kind of like, what? Like, oh my god! Like,
would you be in favor of him spelling out his full name? Like, would you want to see Marvin Bagley III on this, or just Bagley?
I'd like to just see Bagley because he's Marvin III Bagley. He's the third. Yeah. I'd like to just see Bagley. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this someone who's going to be around when the Knicks pick?
Well, so I was reading this lovely piece by Mark Berman about how in the New York Post, we all love him, about how the Knicks aren't sucking enough. so, I mean, but that's a reasonable take, right? I think right now in the Tankathon rankings, they'd be picking 9th.
That's correct.
So I do not think Marvin Bagley would be around at number 9, although who knows? Like, apparently these draft combines are really, really important and say a lot about where a player is going to go. So who knows? He could be this year's. Who's the guy who's on Charlotte who dropped all the way down after everyone loved him? Kentucky guy. His name will come back to me from last year.
Monk?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Malik Monk. Yeah. He could be that guy. But I highly doubt it. I think just based on his potential, based on what we've already seen of him, and I mean, I guess he's a unicorn. He'll be gone at nine. That's
so. But in case Knicks fans want to watch him now, fans of the show know that I'm not a college guy, but I believe Duke is in the ACC. Is that correct?
Yes.
So all right. Yes. Bonus points for me. So they may continue in the ACC tournament, depending on what happens. It's single elimination, right?
Yes, yes. It looks like they will be. They're up. It's only the first half, but they're up. They're not up double digits, but they have the lead has been cut to six, so they're up 37-31 against Notre Dame. I think that's a game that they'll win.
Okay.
And if they move on, they will be playing. So let's see. I pulled all of these up. If they move on, they would be playing either North Carolina or Miami, and I guess that would be tomorrow. So.
Okay. Yeah. And then we will. Duke would be in the tournament, no matter right what.
Yeah.
Not a bubble team.
No, they're not a bubble team. That's a team that's close to the tournament.
All right. Let's move on. Let's pick one of the bridges.
So, both bridges are very, very good. Which one do you want to start with? The Villanova one or the Michigan State one?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Villanova one recently, so let's actually start with the Michigan State one. Miles Bridges.
Oh, okay. So I guess from what I can see, from what I've seen, I this might piss some Knicks fans off, but he looks a lot like a lefty Mello. He's built. He's physically very built. He's a thicker guy. He has some range. He can shoot from distance. He's physically, he can bully in the post, and he plays some pretty good defense. So I would call him the lefty Mello. Although, like,
I mean, here's the thing: like Mello, in theory, could be incredible, and obviously he was a great scorer. The way the game has evolved, like his skills didn't necessarily translate to like a motion offense, let's say, because he needed to hold the ball for a long time in order to get into a rhythm.
That's
Does Miles have that same tendency to hold on to the ball from what you've seen?
Not really. I think he's someone that can move pretty that can be effective without the ball in his hands on offense. But I don't know.
Sorry, keep going. No, keep going.
Oh, I think he's one of those like iffy type of tweeners, the type of guy that like you don't really know what he's gonna what he's gonna become like in year three or four of his career. Like he could be a small forward. He could easily be an effective small forward, or he can be someone that says, "Hey, I'm going to work on my shot, and I'm going to be like a swingman. I'm going to be someone that can play the two or the three or the four. Even like he could do a lot of things, but it's like, where do you put him?
What I was going to ask you, because I've heard some talk about him maybe being better as a four, maybe as a three. He's according to his Wikipedia box, he's 6'7". But you know, those heights vary like all over the place.
Oh my god, yeah, they're
in shoes and out of the combine, it changes sometimes. So, but
yeah,
that seems to be the general consensus around 6'7".
Yeah,
And you said he plays for Michigan State, right?
Michigan State, yeah.
And they are, what is that, Big Ten?
That's the Big Ten, yeah.
Yeah, I'm two for two.
Yeah, 2 for 2, yeah. You're Grayson Allening it right now. not quite, yeah, maybe not. They're actually done conference play. The Big Ten, since they had their conference tournament at Madison Square Garden, which is like, all right, whatever, like, yeah. The conference from the Midwest. Yeah, let's put it at MSG. That makes
bizarre.
For
yeah.
But well, it's because of Rutgers. Rutgers is in the Big Ten now. So
God, I hate the way it's so stupid. Like I miss the old Big East. You know.
Yeah. But he's he's at Michigan State. Michigan State has already like the Big Ten tournament is already done. It was last week. Michigan won.
Okay.
And they actually eliminated Michigan State. So they're off this week. They're going to be a tournament team. They're probably going to be a they're probably going to be on the 2 or 3 line, maybe even higher than that. So I guess we'll have to wait for the tournament to be able to see him back in action. But he had a great season, so.
All right. So as far as conference championship play is gone, you Knicks fans missed it. But like Harrison said, we can look to see him in the tournament. Let's talk about – all right. So it's Mikal Bridges, right? Like when I first saw this, I was like, Is this trying to make me feel dumb for not saying Michael? It's not pronounced Michael, though, right? M-I-K-A-L.
I believe it's Mikal. Mikal Bridges.
Mikal, okay.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
All right. So tell me about Mikal Bridges. He's getting a lot of hype recently. He's had a couple of glowing write-ups in, like, The Ringer and a couple other places.
Yeah. He has long limbs. Has a long body. I think they have him at 6'7", 6'8". I haven't seen this comparison, and, like, this is really making me question my, like, basketball knowledge. But, like, he kind of looks like early Paul Pierce, but, like, maybe someone who is, like, a little bit more active defensively.
Okay.
It's tough to really say because, like, a lot of people are comparing him to a lot of other players not named Paul Pierce. But I kind of see a lot of Paul Pierce, and I think just physically, like, their bodies look similar.
Okay.
And he's someone that is, like, very dialed in defensively. So
does he, like, seem crafty like Paul Pierce was? Because the one thing where I would say, just from the little I know about them, people talk about Mikal Bridges, his athleticism, and that wasn't as big a part of Paul Pierce's game. It's more like that kind of herky jerky hesitation style.
Yeah, he's got a bit of that too. He kind of looks like he's not. So obviously these guys are incredibly coordinated, but he kind of looks like sometimes he's like his arms are like moving in every which direction, and he doesn't look as smooth as like a lot of other players.
Okay.
Like he doesn't look as smooth as like Marvin Bagley does, for example. But he's incredibly talented, and like he's someone whose game will probably translate super well to the NBA. I don't know why, but like first of all, he's a junior, so he's not a one and done. He's a little bit older and has seen a little bit more basketball. So I guess when he comes in, he'll be ready for it. He definitely has an NBA body, and those guys, like you said, that are kind of herky jerky, that works well sometimes. Like I think of Goran Dragic on Miami. Like that guy, I would hate to have to defend him. That guy just moves all over the place. So I think he's a little, like, he's got a little bit of that in it, like you said. Yeah.
If you can catch someone off balance, obviously it helps to have, you know, record-breaking speed, but it's not the only way to do it. You know,
no, you can know how to use your awkwardness to your advantage, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So he's playing for Villanova.
Yeah, who are also in action right now. They're playing against Marquette in the Big East tournament, which, from what I could tell, is also at Madison Square Garden. I'm not really. I think it's at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, that's Madison Square Garden. Yeah,
it better be.
Yeah. So they're playing against Marquette right now, and the scoreboard is not on the screen, but I would assume that they're winning. They're winning by 5, so there you go.
Okay. So Mikal Bridges, and then Villanova is another – they're having another excellent year overall, right?
Yeah.
So they'll
be
in the tournament too.
For sure.
Let's move on. Why don't you pick someone else? Pick another one of the top prospects.
So let's take care of the unicorns. Let's take care of the rest of the unicorns.
All right, let's do it.
Specifically, Jaren Jackson Jr.
So all right, here, let's talk about him.
Yeah, so that guy is just long as hell, and he is, yeah, he's pretty unbelievable. Like, he's more raw than another guy we're going to talk about, named whose name rhymes with MeAndre Fayton. he's a little bit more raw than that, but yeah, I would take him on the Knicks like tomorrow. You put him with Kristaps. Like, I'm sorry, that's going to be the most athletic front court that you can have. And, like, yeah, I would take him in a second.
I've watched, like 5 to 10 minutes of YouTube clips on all these guys. And Jaren Jackson Jr., it was, like, about a month ago, and he's moved up the board a lot. It kind of made me feel good about my own evaluation because I was like, I love this guy. Like, how could you not? And I think he's a good example of someone. People have asked, like, what should the Knicks draft? And I'm very pro best player available right now while they're a steaming pile of garbage. And, like, but think about it. Like, okay, if you duplicate Kristaps, but it's, like, literally, like, another Kristaps or a slightly different Kristaps, like, I'll take two Kristapses, you know? I'll take Kristaps and Karl Anthony Towns, you know what I mean? Like, and then I'll figure out what to do, you know?
Yeah, and with all these, again, with all these unicorns that are in the draft, like, nobody really is sure which one is going to be the one that's going to be very good. Like, no one knows which one is going to end up being like Karl-Anthony Towns or Kristaps Porzingis. Like, these people are very, very young. They're still teenagers. And when you come into the NBA, you're playing against grown men. And even sometimes you see them, like you see them have bad games because when they're in high school, these freshmen, when they're in high school, they're just bigger and taller.
They're
people that can essentially play in the NBA already in high school, but they're playing against like 5'8" like high school kids.
Like just because your uncle can beat you when you're 12 doesn't mean that he should be playing D1 basketball. He's got a physical advantage. It's borderline unfair. What team is Triple J on again?
Michigan State. He's also Michigan State.
Okay, he's on Michigan State.
So you've missed the boat if you want to watch him in the conference championship, but you won't have to wait long to see him again. This season he averaged 11 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist, but he shot almost 40% from deep. He's a good 3-point shooter. When you see a body like that, you want him on your team. So, yeah.
All right. How many more unicorns do we have?
So, do we call Mo Bamba a unicorn?
Can he shoot?
So he is a he's a 26% 3-point shooter, but he's a 3-point shooter. So, he is someone that he's not a useless guy from deep. He does seem to have a pretty good stroke.
Okay. How's his free throw shooting? Do you know?
His free throw shooting is not that good, 68%.
All right. So I'm skeptical, but...
I did see a mock draft today that had him number one. So, I don't know. He is more of your traditional, like, center, like, 4 or 5 type guy. So, he's not quite a unicorn, but he can be.
I mean, I'll say this. Like, he's one of these guys who just looks physically imposing. He's not, built yet, but no, you're like, who is that like Tim Burton character with the freakish long arms and legs? Like, he looks like an alien.
Oh my god, yeah. And he's like, he looks like he's already very strong and will only get stronger. And like I said, he's 18, so if he's gonna develop a shot, like if he wants to develop a shot, he will develop a shot.
Mo Bamba is also a Harlem guy, right?
Yeah, he's from the Tri-State area. Yeah, as is DeAndre Ayton, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He's from the Bahamas. But yeah, Mo Bamba is someone that, like, I think based on what's happening right now, based on like the current tankathon rankings, he's someone that Knicks fans should like really have their eye on because, yeah, he could very well be the best player available, like you said, when the Knicks are going to be drafting.
The only thing I would worry about with him would kind of be fit with Kristaps. So, like, if he can't extend his range,
yeah,
does that clog the paint and then make – I don't know. Can he defend out in space? How's his defense?
I have not seen enough of him to really be able to, like, get into that. But from what I can tell – well, from what I can see, like, he's very athletic and – whenever you have that type of wingspan, like, you're going to be able to defend on the perimeter and you're going to be able to rebound and you're going to be able to do all the things that would be needed of him if he were to be matched with Kristaps, I think.
So where can Knicks fans watch Mo Bamba coming up?
So the Big 12 tournament, they're actually playing right now against Texas Tech and they are losing. So maybe that'll be the end of the road. But if they do end up winning, they'll be back in action tomorrow against either Virginia or Baylor.
Okay, and he's on Texas, you said? Was that right?
Yeah, West Virginia. Sorry, not Virginia. West Virginia or Baylor. Yeah, he plays for Texas. Yeah.
All right. KD's alma mater, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Texas always managed, like, it's not a school known for basketball, but they always managed to get these really good guys. Like, did LaMarcus Aldridge not go to Texas?
I don't know. Did they still have that dumb coach who couldn't get past the second round with KD?
Shaka Smart. No, it's not that guy anymore. No. Shaka Smart. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great name. That's an all-time great name. Shaka Smart. All right. I want to get to the second half of our list, but first, just want to remind you guys, listeners, that is, that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, give us a sentence or two review. We would really appreciate it. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. Before we get back to the show, I want to touch on something a little bit more serious. If you or a loved one lived in, worked in, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the September 11th attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits, from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but for anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast cancer. Please call 1-800-LAW-HELP. That's 1-800-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. Let's do. You just mentioned DeAndre Ayton, so let's talk about him. Who is he? Where does he play? What does he do?
So DeAndre Ayton is amazing. He plays for Arizona. He's right now the subject of a potential FBI investigation into the very well-known bag dropping that happens in college basketball. And like, I mean, you know what? Just pay the players, man. Like, they deserve to be paid because they do work. And when people do work, they should get money for it. So
I agree. And then they'll pinch him for like, oh, he got a $50 Chili's gift card. It's like, all
right. Or he got $100,000 to play for 1 year, and he was able to help his parents get out of poverty. Like,
right? How dare him?
Yeah, and you know what? $100,000 for someone who will maybe one day make like infinitely times more money than that. I think that's a good bargain, right? Like, if I'm the Arizona coach, I'm saying, sign me up, man. Like, yeah, hell.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's the, you know, rookie scale contract for someone where he's going to get drafted? Like $3 million? Like,
if not more because of like the crazy 2016 inning, I guess you can call it.
Right. I think the top pick now is something like 6 million or 7 million, something like that.
Yeah.
It's creeping up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, tell me more about DeAndre Ayton. What's his game like?
So, a lot of people are like using the easy cop out comparison, I'd say. What I'd call the easy cop-out comparison, which is Joel Embiid.
Okay.
But like, I'm going to compare him to Joel Embiid because that's like a perfect comparison. Joel Embiid has like a higher ceiling than him, but
I mean, Joel Embiid's ceiling is like what, top three player in the league?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
So.
But like DeAndre Ayton is like taller. DeAndre Ayton is 7'1".
Oh wow.
Okay. From what I know, doesn't have a history of injury. Although when you're 7'1", like
it finds you.
Yeah, you're gonna get injured at some point. But he's a rock. It looks like he cannot be moved. Like when he's out there, it just looks like you can't get him off his spot. If he gets good post positioning, and even if he gets shitty post positioning, like Enes Kanter style post positioning, he's still gonna do great things. And I mean, like, he's a unicorn. He's someone that can shoot from just about anywhere. So the Knicks are not going to get him unless they really, 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 really like turn it on, like turn on the suckage and some other teams like start doing better. Sorry. It's not going to happen.
And you said he's for Arizona in the Pac-12. They're still in
They beat Colorado today. So tomorrow they'll be – so tomorrow as in today – they'll be playing against UCLA that has a couple NBA draft picks of their own, but I don't think anyone in the lottery.
All right. Looking forward to catching some of that. Let's talk about someone who started this season just kind of like blazing like a comet, has cooled off a little bit. Now I think is playing better again, Trae Young.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so people that shit on Trae Young are stupid.
So I was like, okay, so Trae Young, he started the year just not missing any three-pointers and shooting them from like the parking lot, right? Like that was kind of the vibe.
Yes.
And he was a high recruit, but not expected to be like top of the lottery.
I think he was a top 10 recruit according to he was a five-star, that's for sure.
Okay. So I was looking at his numbers the other day. It looks like he's shooting, I think, around like 36% from three right now?
Yeah, 36%, yeah.
So that to me doesn't scream like unstoppable. When like, why should we, you know, but like, I've said, I haven't watched too much of these guys. You're saying people who think he sucks are stupid. Why, so why is he better than that number? Or is that number good for his volume? Or I don't know, talk me through it.
Well, because he's the best player. He's the best. Well, okay, but maybe he's not the best player, but he's been the best player this year. He's 19 years. Okay, yeah. when people are taking a young guy like that and are saying stuff like, hey, this is the next Steph Curry, like the amount of pressure that puts on a 19-year-old who like is just finishing high school.
Yeah.
That's like an unreasonable amount of pressure to have on your shoulders. He plays for a good basketball program, but like that often depends on having like that one good guy that's going to make them good. Like Buddy Hield a few years ago, or why am I drawing so many blanks? The guy who just got traded to Detroit. Oh my God. He's amazing. He's one of the best players in the league. Blake Griffin. Thank you. It's that type of program, the type of program that like is going to need a really, really good player to make them good.
The Sooners.
In the Big 12. He's incredibly good. He's still the country's leading scorer. He's leading, so with 27.4 points a game, he's leading the country in assists with 8 assists per game. Like, yeah, he's the best player. When you have the best player, draft the best player. I don't know.
Do you think he's the best prospect also?
I don't think he's the best prospect. I think he's the best. I think he should win player of the year, although I don't know. What do I know? But
you're an expert, Harrison. That's why we have you on.
I guess. He's a pretty incredible player. Even though he's shooting 36%, I think it says something when you're someone that has proven to everyone that you can knock down threes, and you just take them. You just like ballsy as hell, just take them.
It doesn't mean you're not going to do it. It just makes me wonder if it's a little overhyped. But like, you never know. I mean, I was like, so someone the other day compared Frank to Klay Thompson, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And
Frank
I said,
Ntilikina?
Yes. What? I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I kind of entertained it, and then someone took me to task on Twitter. They're like, how dare you even entertain that? And then I was just kind of curious. And like Klay Thompson, who's one of the great shooters of all time, he shot, I think in his age 19 season at Washington, he shot 36%. So
okay.
It doesn't mean that but the year before he shot like 41%, but that was like six games or something. I don't know if he was hurt or he didn't really play his freshman year.
I'm still amazed by this comparison. Like, I want to meet this person, this lovely person who's making this type of comparison. That is wild.
Shooting, defense, optimism. That's the the equation right there.
Maybe. I mean, like, are we calling Frank Ntilikina a great 3-point shooter? Like, what?
Not yet.
I don't. Maybe someday, but like he has a nice stroke. He has a nice shooting stroke. But like, Klay Thompson, are you nuts? Okay.
Let it not be said that I don't bring in varying viewpoints.
That's good. We do need a variety of opinions, of at least when it comes to basketball.
This was a listener question, so you know, not necessarily
sure.
An expert, but
yeah.
Any other Trae Young thoughts before we move on? Where can we see him?
So he plays at Oklahoma. They're in the Big 12 tournament, but they got eliminated by Oklahoma State, so he's already done. You'll have to wait for the tournament to see him.
He's done. Okay.
Yeah, he's done for the conference tournaments, but you'll be able to see him in the. I don't think they're a bubble team. I think that's a team that'll be a tournament team.
Okay.
And you know, if they aren't, so what? He'll be a lottery pick no matter what. I think people have him like going to Orlando right now, which just like Orlando just seems like the. It seems like a somehow worse pit to fall in than like the Knicks, because everything seems to go to die in Orlando. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a depressing situation down there. The amount of guys that they've let walk, like if they had just kept all their guys.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like, except for Aaron Gordon, because like Aaron Gordon's pretty phenomenal. And like the Knicks keep losing to them this year. It kind of pisses me off. But if he goes there, great. Hopefully he doesn't have a similar fate to the guy they just traded to
Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, Elfrid Payton, whom I always liked a lot. I don't know why.
I just can't get over his dumb hair. I'm all for self-expression, but when it literally sometimes like flaps in front of your eyes, it's not good for sports.
Or when it like gets in the way of you shooting free throws.
The ball grazes off it sometimes.
That's special.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
I'm not against, you know, like Like, some people say it's the dumbest hairdo ever. Like,
No.
From a tactical approach, perhaps. But I'm all for weird shit. Yeah, grow whatever you want up there. But, you know.
Guarantee the person who said it's the dumbest haircut of all time is bald. Guarantee.
With his broccoli head. I am of the mind that when you're a professional athlete, you need to shave every inch of your body for ultimate sleekness and aerodynamicism. That's just me. No eyebrows.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good look.
You gotta get rid of the nostril hair, trim it close.
Well, you know how, like, these days it seems like it's fashion, especially in college basketball, but also in the pros, to, like, have short shorts. Like, have shorts that, like, reach about halfway down your thigh. Maybe the next thing is gonna be no eyebrows, who knows?
Yeah, I think it could be. I like the short shorts. I'm
for that. So do I. Yeah. I'm a big fan of short shorts. They look cool.
Might just be, like, nostalgic. That's what I grew up with, but I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Okay. Let's go to the other backcourt guy that we got left. I think he's backcourt, right? Sexton?
So Colin Sexton is he's a point guard for Alabama. He is my favorite player in the draft, and if the Knicks drafted him, I would be extremely happy. So I have seen Colin Sexton play in person because so Alabama did a Canadian tour where they played a bunch of Canadian teams, like, exhibition. So they played against the other English language university in Montreal, McGill, which is, like, a very well-known school.
Yes, I am familiar.
Yeah, they call Harvard America's McGill.
Yes, I've heard of that.
How pretentious they are. Yes. So they played against McGill, and I've covered the McGill team. I study at the other Anglophone university, and we play against McGill, so I know the players on McGill very well. And he torched them. It was not even so. It was against, like, Canadian competition, so it wasn't really fair. But he looked like he was playing at a different speed. And I know some of the players on McGill that are very, very good and very, very fast, and, like, could easily play somewhere on scholarship in the United, like, in American college basketball, whether it's Division I or two or three or whatever. I know that they have guys of that quality, and he just looked like he was on a different speed. Like, that is someone that if the Knicks get, I'd be super happy with. He's kind of score first, and, like, there are some red flags, but I don't care.
So you think he's a good playmaker?
I think he's a great playmaker.
Because they definitely need that.
And I also think he's someone that could be available when the Knicks are drafting. Now, the other question is, do we want yet another point guard because we've got a lot of them?
I would say yes. I mean, for me,
really?
Yeah, I mean, because if he's the best player, you know, but, like, a lot. I mean, I guess, like, my gut reaction is, I don't want another point guard. But yeah. I don't trust my gut. Well, I like to question my gut, and I mean, like, Moutier, I don't believe in. You know, I would love for him to. I think it was a smart move for them to do it, given what they've got available to them. Like, why not throw everything against the wall, see what sticks? I don't believe in him. I think Trey Burke could be a solid backup. Don't think he's going to be a starter. I believe in Frank. I really do think he's going to be great, but nothing's set in stone. And if you're your draft team, all these guys who are scouting for you for the Knicks think that Sexton is, like, a great prospect, then I say take him and see. And if Frank and Sexton are both great, you can either find a coach who can, you know, fit them into the same scheme, or figure out a way to trade one. If they're legitimately both great, then you'll be able to trade for, like, something decent. So
sure. But I have a question, though.
Yeah.
If the Knicks draft Colin Sexton, would you see that to any degree as the Knicks giving up on Frank Ntilikina?
It's definitely going to be the question that'll be in all the tabloids.
Yes.
It would depend on who else is out there. But, I mean, the way people talk, I guess. So it all depends on the quality of the other people available, right? So the way people talk about these draft picks, it seems like it's pretty stacked, like 1 through 10.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those drafts where it's like there's a lot of quality players, but there's no, like, definitive number one. A lot of people like Luka Doncic. Like, I still think that there's no definitive number one, in my opinion.
I mean, everyone was, you know, so sure it was... what's his face? Now I'm drawing a blank. I've caught it from last year. The guy who can't shoot anymore.
Oh, yeah, Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz. And I remember being like, yeah, he looks good, but I don't know. Like, when everyone just agreed. But then they're right sometimes. Like, LeBron is LeBron, and everyone knew he was going to be LeBron from the beginning. But
Matt, I like Lonzo Ball so much more than I like than I ever liked Markelle Fultz.
Me too.
You know what? Like I wish Lonzo Ball played for the Knicks. Like, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, he was my favorite player in the draft last year by far. I talked about it a lot on the show.
He's awesome, and like whether he ever makes an All-Star team or not should not matter. He's someone that will be there, like that can be a serviceable, that can be a good point guard for a decade plus. Like, give me that guy. Give me that guy.
He just knows how to play basketball. Like, he's got the instincts. He's got the ability. His shot's coming around now, and that's really the only thing that's a question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's an insane passer. He's an insanely good passer.
Very intuitive defender.
Yeah, for someone who's like 19 or 20, he plays good defense. And yeah,
he's calm, which is insane because his father is his father.
Yeah, but he can also he's calm, but like also extremely confident. Like when there's that clip of him like defending LeBron the first time that the Cavs played the Lakers this year,
right.
And it looked like there was no problem there. He knew exactly where to position his body. He knew exactly. Like he was predicting LeBron two moves ahead, and maybe LeBron ended up getting the bucket anyways, but like it wasn't easy.
But like, so yeah, I know, totally. But so Colin Sexton, just to kind of wrap him up,
yeah.
Like, who would you like his ceiling as an NBA player? Like, what kind of player do you think he could be? Because that's what helps like for me contextualize it. Like, I would hate to draft a point guard. Like, honestly, like my gut reaction. But if you're telling me like, oh, Colin Sexton is Chris Paul, then you're an idiot if you don't draft Chris Paul. I haven't heard that comparison, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm going to say something crazy. Okay. I think I'm going to say something crazy just because, like, I think you know where I'm going with this. Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if that's the ceiling. What I will say is that the one thing that Colin Sexton has that Russell Westbrook doesn't is that, like, and we were talking about this the other day, and I'm only now really beginning to understand, like, to what extent it's mind-blowing how useless Russell Westbrook is without the basketball in his hands. Colin Sexton can draw an offense, can draw a defense, can attract so much attention that he'll draw attention away from other good players that are on the floor. Like, he's a smart player. He knows how to play basketball, even though he's ball dominant and is probably like a score first type of person. He's not your typical score first type of player. He's very, 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 very intelligent about it. And he plays good defense. So, like, I would love for the Knicks to draft him. I don't know how that would look with Frank Ntilikina. I hope they get rid of Emmanuel Mudiay in the offseason. If they're able to, you know, say, hey, Frank, or hey, Colin, you're going to play the two now, or you guys are going to have to try to share the load in terms of, like, who's going to be the primary ball handler. I don't know how they're going to figure that out, but I'd...
The thing that complicates that kind of equation is I really do think Hardaway is much better suited as a two.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Oh, no. Tim Hardaway Jr. is on point guard.
Than a three. And, like, that's where they're playing. That's where they've been playing him. And I just...
Ugh.
Like, he's got some wing tendencies. He's got some good, you know, height. He's fast as hell. But I much prefer him at the two. So that really complicates things.
Yeah. No, Colin Sexton is like has all of kind of that type of he's very prototypically that type of like score first point guard that's extra athletic. So like you'll find similarities between him and like early Derrick Rose. You'll find similarities between him and Dennis Smith Jr., between him and Russell Westbrook. Like I don't think it's a, you know, straight up 1-to-1 comparison, but like there are similarities between those players, those type of like I'm going to try to get to the bucket
right
now. Yeah.
I like some of that swagger. I'm looking now. It says that he shoots 30% from three, so that's an area for concern, I would say.
Yeah.
I really hate a point guard who can't shoot, like, league average from three. That bothers me.
Yeah. But that's something that he'll develop again.
He's young. I mean, yeah, sure. But, like, does his form look all right, in your opinion?
He looks like he's a good shooter. It doesn't really seem that he... I think all his life he was like faster than everyone else, so he never needed to have a good shot.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm just gonna run past you and I'm gonna dunk all over you and there's nothing you can do about it. And we think of these point guards as like, oh yeah, they're the short ones. He's 6'3", like he was probably taller than most people he was playing against in high school.
Sure.
So he was bigger, faster, and he didn't need to have a 3-point shot. But I'm sure like it'll be a requirement once he gets into the NBA. Like if you want to be a point guard that can't shoot, you literally have to be Ben Simmons. So
right.
Yeah.
So let's move on. We got two more guys to round out our list of the Knicks fans' guide to conference championship play. Let's do Wendell Carter Jr.
Okay, so that's of these guys, that's the one that I know the least about. But
me too. That's, he kind of has been sneaking up the boards recently.
Yeah, but like, I went to watch some of his tape, and holy shit, what the hell? Like, that is, like, he's incredible. He's incredible.
Give us a quick outline of what kind of player he is.
He's so smooth. He's so smooth. It looks like he's gliding. It looks like he's not really even trying to play. He's a good three-point shooter, so I don't know how often he shoots three-pointers, but, well, not often, but, like, he can make them. Right now he's a 50% three-point shooter, but that's not, like, he's not someone that takes many of them.
Yes. Okay.
But, like, yeah, he's 6'10", he's 260 pounds, he averaged 14 points a game, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. That's pretty fucking good.
Yep. 2.2 blocks.
Yep. So that's like, that's pretty exceptional. Now, what I do want to talk about is that very weird commitment video that he has that we were talking about yesterday. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see this. Was this in Slack? Were people talking about it?
Yeah. He has this video where he like commits to Duke, and like, it's a Bleacher Report James Bond theme thing. It sucks. It's very, very weird. And like, the only women that are in it. So, by the way, happy International Women's Day.
thank you, Harrison.
And like the only women that are in it are like, oh wow, like, who is that guy? And they're kind of just like, they have no names.
They're fawning fans.
Yeah, exactly. Like
groupies.
Like, the women's only purpose is to like, yeah, fall in love with. It's kind of screwed up.
Well,
so that's kind of suspect.
Kristaps is kind of a cornball, so he might fit in well with him.
Maybe. Yeah, Kristaps is very, very clumsy on Instagram, I must say.
Like, I mean, come on. Yeah.
On social media in general, I would say.
Yeah, he's weird. He's like, he wants to be cool really bad.
He wants to be cool really bad, but he's still like this 21-year-old goofball that now has millions of dollars, and he's like, what do I do?
He needs to learn that he just needs to not try so hard.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're one of the best players in the league. You're a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
You're like handsome-ish, not the most
handsome.
Nah. Yeah.
But you know what? You're 7'3". Like that's already his height. Whatever he doesn't have in looks, he has in height. So no problem.
So Wendell Carter Jr. He's also a Dukie.
Yeah, he plays for Duke.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So in the game right now, let me tell you how he's
it's
doing.
Close.
Yeah. So it suddenly got really close, and I'm like, that was not the game that I had like on my screen, and like I'm just okay, there it is. The score is now 47-41 for Duke. He has so he has no points.
All right.
He has no points and 3 fouls. I guess he got into a bit of foul trouble. Doesn't look like he's played many minutes, but no, like if the Knicks, and he's someone that maybe might end up like being available when the Knicks are set to pick. I would love for the Knicks to have that guy. He has a lot of potential.
Very intriguing. Let's close out our list with someone who was definitely one of the top prospects coming into the season, got hurt, just came back today as of the recording of this podcast, I believe.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr., rounding out the list with a junior, feels only natural.
Yeah.
Tell us about Michael Porter Jr. What kind of a player is he?
Oh man, that guy is good. He's 6'10", lean. Like they have him listed at 215. I'd say that that sounds about right. So yeah, he's skinny.
He looks a little thicker than that to me. But
maybe now that he hasn't been playing and he's kind of just been sitting around injured.
Weights, hopefully.
So the injury is a big concern. Although how much of that is like them knowing he's gone after this year, so kind of saying, hey, like you don't need to play today. You're healthy, but you don't have to play today. Just like play when everyone's watching, and then go be a lottery pick. Like maybe there's a bit of that going on. He's great. I don't think he'll be available when the Knicks are going to pick, but he's big. He has some Kevin Durant in him in terms of like how fluid he is when he's moving with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He plays good defense, but he's not the most incredible athlete, and that'll like, he's probably not going to be someone that's going to have an unbelievably good like draft combine, but he's going to be someone that when you turn on the tape, you're going to be like, yeah, I don't know how we don't draft this guy. That's what I think.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause you said he's not super athletic, and I can see that. He sort of gave me vague Blake Griffin vibes, like the way.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but again, This is all coming from my very preliminary, like, 5 minutes of video research on each of these people. So
maybe I guess I could see what you're saying in terms of, like, he stands very upright. Like, he doesn't crouch much. He's very, like, his torso is always very, like,
yeah,
vertical.
Maybe that's what it was, the way he kind of just, like, held himself. It was more of, like, sort of his movements, not necessarily his explosion.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see, because I remember...
I could watch more tape and then be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said.
No.
But it popped into my head briefly in, like, the couple clips that I saw, so...
The 2015 draft, I remember people were talking about how Jahlil Okafor has amazing bend. Like, he can crouch down to, like, basically be in a sitting position, like, while posting up. And I was like, that's an interesting way of analyzing a player. And Michael Porter Jr. is someone that, like, even though he stands upright, he can, like, get down really low if he's posting up.
Okay.
So that's probably a good sign. Like, we're saying, oh, he's a bad athlete. Like, this guy is, like, 7,000 times the athlete that, like, we'll ever be. So
that is correct. That is correct. And he plays for Mizzou, I believe.
Mizzou. Who lost today by 2 points against Georgia. So they're not going to be a tournament team. So it's going to – the next time we'll see him.
So then you got some kind of like Markelle Fultz parallels because they didn't make the tournament,
right? Yeah, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, same thing. Like guys.
Well, then you got Ben Simmons who's incredible. So
Yeah. Oh, Michael Porter Jr. is going to be a good NBA player. I don't think so. Like when you're 6'10 and like you can do – you have a good shooting – like you're a good shooter, and you're a good defender. Yeah, he's gonna have a good NBA career.
And look, I'm talking shit about Markelle Fultz, but that book isn't written yet either. I mean, it's a very bizarre start, but
that book is totally written, man. That guy's never.
You think it's done? You think that's it?
No, look, okay,
The takes, Harrison. You're coming in strong. I like it.
Maybe not, but like, did you see those? Did you see like the actual not edited version of like that practice footage from a few months ago?
Yeah,
he can't shoot.
It's bizarre. I saw a clip that came out like today or yesterday. People are like, "Oh, looking good," and he didn't look so hot to me. He's like, he's still doing this weird. It's like he's shooting darts. He's like pushing it forward. It's very strange.
Yeah. He like I don't really get. Maybe he's gonna come back and he's gonna be amazing. But like I never watched him play and was like, "Yo, this guy's fantastic."
He needs to go to a hypnotist. He needs to try like yoga. I don't know. He needs to try
or
it all.
He needs to play in the G League. I don't know what's this like. A version that these young players, that these young like lottery picks have to play in the G League when they're injured. Like you hurt yourself, you're gonna like the last thing that you want, like just when you're getting used to basketball again, is playing maybe against LeBron James. Like
yeah, I mean I agree. It could totally build up your confidence to just sun a bunch of fools.
Exactly.
I think it's tough because it's culturally ingrained. Like it's just not a part of basketball culture. Whereas baseball. Every great player ever spent like 12 years in the minors before they got called up, and that's just something that you do.
And every time you're injured before coming back, you go take at-bats or
totally
play in the minors, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, but they are trying to integrate it more. It looks like that's going to be part of their kind of like how they try to overhaul their interaction with the NCAA and make their minor league more viable. Because right now it's still kind of bullshit. Like the most you can make is what, like $60,000 or something.
For in the G League?
Yeah.
Well, now they have the two-way contract thingies, so...
Well, like but yeah, I guess you're right. But besides that, I mean, and up until recently, the most you could make was like $35,000 or something. Yeah. And then they doubled it, and it's still not that much.
But, you know, the G League is still, like, a pretty important thing for a lot of, like, you know, fringe NBA veterans that, like, need to play in the G League because maybe they're, like, I don't know, they could be called up to the NBA at any moment, so they're not going to, like, go sign a contract in Turkey or whatever. They're going to just... They're going to play in the G League. I think it's still an important thing. It would just be nice if they're paid a bit more, ultimately. But I think with Markelle Fultz, it's like you are being paid what you're owed from your rookie contract. Go get some minutes in the G League and then see what you can do. Like I think the best idea that anyone's ever had is like LaVar Ball, who wants to make that league for like, five-star players who need – like because you know the rule is you have to be out of high school for 1 year before you can enter the draft.
Right.
He's going to create a league where legally they're going to be allowed to pay these guys and they're going to just play against each other and it's going to be amazing. And then they're going to go enter the draft.
It's all such bullshit. Like every – like if you're a tennis player, you can turn pro at 11. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So whatever anyone thinks about LaVar Ball, I think he's awesome. But whatever anyone thinks about of LaVar Ball, like that's a good idea. That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I want to, so thank you for helping me run through. We have now closed out are 10 guys that Knicks fans can look out for in conference championship play or the tournament. Sometimes neither, as in the case of Michael Porter Jr. But it's our first toe dip into the draft pool, so thank you for that. I want to preview the two remaining games the Knicks have on the schedule by hating on the teams that the Knicks have to play. Before we do that, just want to remind our listeners that you guys are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We got a podcast for every team in the NBA and the NFL. If you like the Knicks, you might like the Giants. I think you guys should check out Locked On Giants. They've got new hosts, Patricia Traina and Valentine. They're doing a great job over there. Once again, that's Locked On Giants. How'd I do on that one,
nice. Anderson?
Was that a good one?
Okay. You did very well on that one. And actually, I did not know that that podcast had added those people. I follow those people on Twitter. That's great.
Oh, yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh, no shit. Patricia's doing stuff over at The Athletic.
Yeah. You know, she's there. I'm an honorary Giants fan. Like, I don't really like the NFL. But, like, if I had to pick an NFL team, it would be the Giants. So, like, maybe I should pay attention if, like, now they have a lottery pick them or, like, a top five pick now. So
I think both of those instincts are right, Harrison. Go Giants. Football is a disease sport that should slowly be phased out of our culture.
Exactly. But and, you know, baseball, too.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, well, here's the thing. You know, as a Yankee fan, they're the one thing I have to hold on to that's like a consistent winning culture. So
yeah, as a Mets fan,
screw you. So that's you're getting in the spirit of our next segment, which is hating on the two teams that the Knicks have coming up on the schedule. The next game the Knicks have feels like 2 weeks away, although it'll be tonight most likely by the time that you guys are listening to this. Friday, the Knicks play at Milwaukee. So I want to talk about their most hateable player.
I don't know.
So for me, this is a tough one, but do you want to start? Do you have it? I have a couple that
I'd like
to nominate.
No, man, I like all their players.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I like – they're all – they're such a good – they're such a fun team. Okay, okay, okay. I'll hate on them because we have to hate on them.
Yes.
But, like, on the record, off the record, like, that is a team that I hope – goes very far, because any time that you're watching Giannis Antetokounmpo play, like, it times are good. Like, that guy is the best.
A lot. I do like him a lot. I can't hate on him. Although, like, fuck this, like, oh my God, he's so great because he had that game winner over Lance Thomas. Like, I can hit a game. I can hit a game winner over Lance Thomas.
That's the type of – so you want, like, Knicks-specific salt. Okay.
No, not necessarily.
Well, I remember, like, he did hit it. So you're talking about the game winner. This was last year, I think.
Yeah, last year. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, you know what? There are tons of other reasons to love-hate Giannis Antetokounmpo. A, he's amazing, and I think the Knicks – I think he was available when the Knicks drafted in 20. No, he wasn't. No, he was. He went like 13th, and the Knicks picked 18th or something like that. I can't remember, but he's amazing. And like, the Bucks are really good. If there was one guy on that team that I would hate, they have Matthew Dellavedova right now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so him. Hate
so,
that guy.
I mean, he's literally like a piece of human garbage who dives at other players' knees.
Yeah. So fuck that guy.
He looks like a squirrel.
He does look like a squirrel.
But not a cute one, like one of those raggedy-ass greasy ones with its hair all matted up. And, like, it's missing an eyeball, and you're like, damn, like, a falcon just needs to swoop down and, like, kill this thing and put it out of its misery, right?
Yet somehow it's dragging a fucking slice of pizza for two blocks. Like,
he is.
He's
very pizza ratty. I mean, they've got kind of an ugly squad. Like, Chris Middleton looks like a fish with human teeth.
Not a good-looking guy.
He should be giving, like, illegal eye transplant surgery in a dystopic future where you need retinal scans to get on the subway, right?
Yes.
A la Minority Report was the inspiration there, but he just looks like a creepy, dystopic doctor.
He looks like someone – so I recently just watched for the first time ever Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the Hunter S. Thompson movie.
Ah, yes.
He looks like he could be one of the, like, creepy drug dealers.
He definitely looks like someone they'd run into in Circus and, like, not know if he was a hallucination or not and be like,
That's right.
Are there alligators here? Like,
You do the voice well.
Thank you. I mean, I love that one growing up. It's one of the most faithful book-to-movie adaptations that I've seen.
I think so. And, like, Hunter S. Thompson, for like, so that's a journalist that, like, love him or hate him. I mean, there's a lot to hate about him. First of all, he doesn't quote women. Like, he doesn't value women, quite obviously. But also, like, when you read him, you're just like, what the heck am I reading? This is amazing and shitty all at the same time.
Yeah,
he's great.
I mean, he's a hugely influential stylist. He can be his cult of fandom can be obnoxious. It's a lot of, like...
I think so.
It's a lot of, like, high school kids who are like, oh, this guy's my hero. And you're like, all right. There's something to be recommended, you know, by him. Like he's got talent, but also calm down. Like, Jim Morrison's not a great poet, you know, like that kind of thing.
Go read the Kentucky Derby article. That's the best one.
Yes, that is excellent. Yeah. But they've got a couple other guys who I think are hateable. Marshall Plumlee, who, you know...
Oh, my God. All of the Plumleys. All of the
right?
Plumleys.
I mean, once a Nick, always a Nick, but he's the guy at the park who, like, sucks, but D's everyone up with the intensity of a Game 7, elbows you in the face, and you're like, chill out, Marshall. Like,
yeah, and it's just enormous.
Yeah.
And, like, that you can't really move, mm-hmm. but you know that they suck. Kind of like, there was that... wide receiver who, kind of like what my opinion of Dez Bryant is. Dez Bryant, I think, is like uncoordinated and kind of whack, but he's just huge and like kind of bullies people.
Right.
Although, I don't know.
I like that.
I don't know anything about football.
I like cowboy hate. That's okay.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Zeller's in a similar boat.
Yes.
Who's now on that team. He looks like he should be like building elaborate miniature train sets in his basement while wearing a conductor's hat. That's kind of like just a big dork.
I can't, like, Zeller. And there's, like, several Zellers, right?
Yeah, there's too many. Can't keep track of them. I think there's Cody. Yeah, exactly. There's Cody, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there's all these, like white guys that are, like, the Plumleys and the Zellers, and I think they're might yet.
Yeah, they should be.
They're all bad, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, they should be, like, warring, like, the Hatfields and the McCoys, just, like, these warring Hick families from wherever they're from.
Exactly.
And then I just want to close out the hate, unless you have more. I feel like Eric Bledsoe is like a sneaky, he's like a low-key, maybe the biggest piece of garbage on that team. I don't really have the stats to back this up. I don't know. This is like an eye test thing. This is going with my gut. But there's something about him. Seems like he's a scumbag. I can't prove it.
Well,
it bothers me every time he plays well.
Yeah.
Like, he's both better than you think and worse than you think at the same time somehow. Like, I don't really... I'm always like, man, Eric Bledsoe? And you're like, yeah, Eric Bledsoe. Like,
if the Knicks had Eric Bledsoe, that'd be great.
It would be, but like, I feel like if he was on the Knicks, he would suck.
Two-way, yes. Well, because everything that goes on the Knicks dies, apparently. But like, a two-way point guard who can score with ease, who's like a tremendous athlete, and who is like a very instinctive passer, but also can, like, D anyone up, like, and is kind of cocky about the way he plays defense.
Yeah. He's got that cockiness, so it makes you hate him. And I think it's because I never think of him as, like, the upper echelon of point guards, and then every time he plays the Knicks, he destroys them.
And there was also that Twitter thing at the beginning of the year where he, like, forced his way out of Phoenix, which I thought was funny.
They're a mess. That organization's a mess. I don't blame anyone for wanting to get out of there.
Oh, no. Neither do I.
So, now, I have plenty of hate for Milwaukee. I hear... through the grapevine, through posting and toasting Slack, that you have plenty of hate for the Knicks' opponent on Sunday. The Knicks are at home against the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, my God. Toronto. Just the word makes me, like, sick a little bit.
So, as our resident Canadian commentator, tell me why you hate Toronto.
Well, okay, so I hate Toronto very much for the same reason that, like, I assume non-Brooklyn people hate Brooklyn. so
it's like, very Brooklyn-y. I've been there once. It's Brooklyn-y.
So it's fake. They call themselves Hollywood North. They call themselves Broadway North. They just think that they're the center of the universe. This is it's like, it's very deep too. Like, so as I'm sure everyone knows, Montreal used to have a Major League Baseball team, the Montreal Expos.
Yes.
There was a vote to contract the NBA, the Major League Baseball, in, I believe, 1997, like, turn of the century.
That's right, 98, I think, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Most people... Oh, yeah, Toronto, their nightlife sucks, too. Yeah, so not, one of my colleagues is in the newsroom with me, and he's telling me that Toronto sucks. So, yes, Toronto's trash. Their nightlife is trash. But,
what kind of nightlife do you like, Harrison?
Not Toronto nightlife, I guess. Not expensive. Like, it's too expensive there.
It does everyone... seem very... I was there, like, I never get to use a corporate card, but I do, like, once a year, and I got to use my corporate card for business in Toronto. So it was a nice experience when you have like a little bit of corporate money behind you, but maybe that's the problem. Like you said, like I live in Brooklyn, but I don't live in the ritzy part. I don't live in Williamsburg. Okay. I live like where the hell out, like past Prospect Park, where it is more affordable roughly. I mean, you're in New York, it's still ridiculous.
Oh yeah. But New York is crazy expensive. Yeah. But like Toronto is it's full of like these like young urban professionals that just like always go to these like trendy places and make it unbearable for like people that are maybe not young urban professionals.
I like how you say the whole thing instead of using
yuppies. Yeah, they're yuppies. They're fucking yuppies. Yeah, a bunch of fucking yuppies that like make it impossible for anyone else to have fun.
What do you think about Drake?
Oh man, I do not like Drake. Although there's some Drake songs that I can enjoy. Like I don't know, his voice is like weird.
That's the thing. Like so, Drake. Like you sound like an idiot to criticize him because like everyone loves him, and you're like you just hate fun or whatever. And it's like all right, well. Like, I'll put it this way. Like, there have been a couple songs that have been, like, shoved down my throat so much that I eventually kind of broke down and liked. Like, I do kind of like Hotline Bling. It's stupid, but I heard it a billion times, and now I kind of like it. Like, I admit it. But if no one ever talked about him again, I would never, like, seek him out. I would never listen to his music.
Me neither. And, like, you know, and he kind of plays off of that, Toronto thing. Like, he wants to make Toronto big, and, like, he uses Toronto as a vehicle to, like, drive his fame, which is, like, kind of strange. Like, why would you use a city to do that? Like, Toronto, like, everyone knows where Toronto is, but it's, like, it's in Canada. So, like, it's kind of still a little bit mysterious. I don't – it's difficult to explain. But, no, Toronto sucks, and, like, they want – so there's a lot of people in everywhere else in Canada that are fans of the Raptors and they're fans of the Blue Jays. Because they're the only teams in Canada, but the Raptors and the Blue Jays call themselves we're Canada's team, but it's like you're not Canada's team, you're Toronto's team. You are baseball and basketball teams that play in Canada. You are not Canada's team. Canada used to have another basketball team in Vancouver. Canada used to have another baseball team in Montreal. It's weird that they would try to be the center of the universe like that, and it's ultimately really shitty because like. Yeah, I'm not from Toronto. I don't like Toronto things. But then you have people there loving Toronto. But then when it comes to hockey, it's like, they hate the Maple Leafs. But for everything, and they hate everything about Toronto when it comes to hockey. But then once it comes to basketball or baseball, it's like, we love Toronto. Toronto's the shit. It's really, really weird.
Tell me about how about players? Are there players that you hate specifically on Toronto?
All of them, except for Kyle Lowry.
See, here's my thing. I want to get into a couple of specifics. I kind of like DeMar DeRozan.
I love DeMar DeRozan. He's really good.
Okay. Like, I like that he came out and talked about having depression. I thought that was
good. Yeah.
The way everyone's just like, it's amazing. It's great, but it's also like sort of funny on some level that everyone's like, yeah, I'm depressed. I have panic attacks. Like,
well, the unfortunate thing is that you have a lot of those people that are like, ooh, like, I wouldn't have depression if I was a multimillionaire. It's like, shut the fuck up, man. No amount of money could, like, depression is, I believe, a result of chemical imbalances in the brain. Like, sometimes you have them, and no amount of money is going to prevent them. So, screw you.
So, I like DeRozan. Kyle Lowry is, like, smart and charming. I'll give him that. Like, he's a wonderful interview. But on the court, I feel like he's one of the whinier guys in the league.
Maybe.
Like, he kind of throws temper tantrums when calls don't go his way.
You see that as a bad thing?
Yes.
Okay. I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing.
Oh, really? You like people... there's too much of that. Too much.
You know, like, there are whiners and there are whiners. Like, I feel like he whines, but his whining is fair. And then you have, like, just like Mike Krzyzewski, who just whines about everything, even though it's, like, totally fair. Like, there are degrees to that type of whininess. Like...
I sound like such a washed person when I say this, but it really didn't used to be this way when I was a kid. Like, yes, people complained, but it wasn't on every single foul call. Like, no one, like, because there's developed this culture, right or wrong, where, you know, it's all about, like, doing everything it takes to win, whether or not it used to be something that was seen as, like, not very sportsmanlike. Now it's like, well, you have to... wring every efficiency out of everything possible, and that's when you see someone like Harden, who's a great player, like really trying to get like fouls on every play. You know,
but that's just the way he plays. Though. It's pretty brilliant.
He is a brilliant player. He's one of the great players in the history of the league. And that's not exactly what I'm trying to illustrate. It's more about it's the whining after every single whistle. Like, so, I was watching old game tape of Clyde the other day to try to make a slightly lofty comparison between him and Frank. And I was watching these game highlights, and, like, there were lots of fouls and stuff, and the guys just kind of, like, walked to the line. I'm sure they did complain sometimes, but there were large portions of these games where they just played, and the whistle blew, and, you know, it was like, all right, you know, like...
Yeah. So, like, Michael Beasley to me is a whiner because he'll, like, stay on the other end of the court after, like, not getting a foul call.
He's a sulker.
When he should be going back on defense. That's one thing. Kyle Lowry will whine after a whistle is blown, which is like, okay, maybe the optics are bad, but at least you're going back on defense. Yeah, and you know what? He's, like, an amazing player that it just pains me that the Knicks could have had him and didn't.
How about Jonas Valanciunas?
Oh, I hate that guy, especially now that he's, like, developing a three. Like, that was the one thing as a Knicks fan I could say that was great about the Knicks around here, like, when we got Kristaps Porzingis. I was like, oh, yeah, we have, like, the better version of Jonas Valanciunas, like, the better, like, Eastern European guy with a long name that, like, is tall and really, really good. We have the better one. He can shoot threes. He's more fun to watch. But now Jonas Valanciunas can shoot threes, so I don't even have that anymore. Like, fuck that.
Kristaps is still better than Jonas.
Oh, like head and shoulders, but
yes, obviously. Okay, yeah, he looks like he thinks he's much handsomer than he is.
But yeah, he sucks.
I feel like he goes to bars and tries to get, like, every single woman's number, and then he brags when he finally is successful on, like, his 2000th attempt. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think Jonas Valanciunas has Tinder?
Oh, does he?
Do you think so? I don't know.
Oh, I'm asking. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like. But you know what? I feel like. So does Kristaps. So.
Yeah, for sure. Kristaps is a cornball. I love him. He's our cornball, but he's a cornball.
He's our cornball. But you know, I feel like Kristaps is a guy that if we weren't Knicks fans, we would probably not like. Like, we would probably be like, oh my god, who's that, like, clumsy, like, weirdo? But he's with us, so, like, we can feel, like, some sort of affection towards him.
There's, but, like, something endearing about him, though. I don't know. When he, like, blocks a shot and then runs the court and, like, gets a pull up three, like, that's kind of that. I think I would like that.
And you remember that Detroit game last year where he was, like, making those eyes and when he was, like, just giving everyone the deaths there?
Yeah.
That was great. That is still the background on my computer. Like, that was excellent.
And one last kind of sneaky person who I wind up being annoyed with when I watch him play, CJ Miles.
So CJ Miles is, like, that short guard who wears number 24 and who just, like, runs all over the court and really is very pesky. Are we talking about? Yeah. Fuck that guy. Yeah.
He looks like he works in, like, a pawn shop,
or kinda, maybe
or a porn shop, or, like, a pawn shop porn shop combo, which is actually appropriate because he shares his name with an actual porn star.
So, does he?
Yeah. Do not Google image search CJ Miles while you're at work. Do it when you're at home if you're interested. But if not a porn star, like a rated R bikini model.
Okay.
Like, type.
Okay. Well, you know, like, there are worse things to be. Like, there's this high school.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with sex work. I'm not trying to disparage that. No. That actually came out wrong. I'm going to take it all back.
No. I know exactly what you're trying to say. You know what? It's unfortunate because you're like, hey, I want to watch his highlights, but it's like, oh, whoa, that's. Or imagine you're a basketball coach and you saw something really good from CJ Miles, and you want to, like, show your players that good thing, and then you, like, search it on YouTube in front of the whole class. And then you see that, like, that's the downside, I guess.
Okay.
But nothing wrong with sex work; it should be legal, and they should be compensated.
I agree.
Capitalism is the reason why they have to do that. So,
you know what, Harrison? Yeah, I think you might be the most, you might be the closest to my progressive ideals of anyone I've had on the show so far.
I hope so. We should talk off the record about this type of thing. I'm sure a lot of our takes, I'm sure a lot of our social takes would not be appropriate for this show, which is not a bad thing.
You know, I try to, like, not delve too much into that, but every once in a while it comes up, and I don't like to shy away from it either. So, you know,
No. This
is a basketball podcast, so I like to keep it there, but I'm not going to do it exclusively and, like, never mention anything from outside of basketball.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like, hey, what do you think of Karl Marx? Like, I'm not going to do that here. maybe off the air, but not here.
Oh, my God. So, all right, do you think we filled our audience with enough hate for these next two games?
Yeah. I would definitely say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I want to thank you once again, Harrison, for coming on and helping us sort through these draft prospects for the first time. Listeners, I told you before, I'm going to tell you again, we're going to go into much greater depth on all these guys. We'll have episodes devoted to each one of them leading up to the draft. But Harrison, thank you for helping us start that conversation. Thank you for helping us, you know, brew some hatred in our souls for our opponents. It's a very important part of sports. And thanks again for joining us on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
That was fun, right? Had a great time talking to Harrison, as always. That's it for us today. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you got a moment, please rate us on iTunes, 5 stars. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks, also at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Join us tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!